Welcome to the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. If you're ready for a dose of inspiration and insight, then you've come to the right place. My name is Victoria Maskell, and I'm a psychotherapist, mindset coach, and positivity practitioner. I help women just like you to have their own Cinderella stories and transform their mindsets to make their dreams a reality. So if you're a coach, an entrepreneur, or just looking to up-level your life, then this is the podcast for you. I'm going to be talking all things money mindset, manifesting your dream life, and how to use your subconscious to achieve anything you set your mind to. I'm going to be filling these podcast episodes with stories and inspiration for you, things to make you smile, feel supported, and get ready to crush your goals and manifest your dreams. There is no such thing as a coincidence in life. So just by listening to this podcast, you are one step closer to making your dream life, business, and mindset a reality. So if you're ready for today's dose of positivity and prosperity, then let's dive in. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Positivity and Prosperity Podcast. Now, in today's episode, I'm interviewing the wonderful Heidi from Heidi Jones Coaching, and we are talking all things mindset, lifestyle. We're talking about success, goal setting. Heidi shares her journey from living in one country to moving to another to changing jobs. She's talking about taking risks and really looking at your well-being and what that means for you. Now, Heidi gives some really good tips in this episode. So if you're thinking about making changes in your life, looking at your health, your well-being, your mindset, setting goals, then this is definitely the episode for you. I will make sure to leave in the show notes all of the links so you can find out more about Heidi. I strongly recommend you go and check her out. Have a look at her Instagram. She's Heidi_Jones_coaching. So much positivity. She is such a lovely person. And if you're into positivity, well, you're listening to this podcast, so hopefully you are, I am sure you will really, really resonate with Heidi and her content. So without further ado, I will dive into the episode. Okay, so I would love to welcome the wonderful Heidi onto the podcast today. Heidi, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited for this podcast interview. Do you want to start by just introducing yourself? Tell everyone a little bit about you, what you do, and who you help.
Oh, thank you so much, Victoria, for having me here. I'm super excited as well. So I'm Heidi Jones, and I am a health, lifestyle, and mindset coach. And I'm over here in Dubai. So I'm an expat, UK expat, living in Dubai. I've been here for 11 years. I actually originally moved out as a teacher. I've worked as a teacher my previous life for like 10 years. But for the past 6 years, I have been coaching and set up my own coaching business over here in Dubai, which has just been one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. Taking that step to do more of what felt more aligned with what I needed for not only my health and like my happiness, but kind of my future as well. So I've been doing that and working with women. So I really help women focus on prioritizing their health and their career and their mindset. That's where I take my coaching.
Cool. Right. So many questions already. So I'm just going to dial myself down. Okay. So what was the original thing that made you move to Dubai? Because what was the pull? And then how did you end up going from moving to Dubai, teacher, to where you are now?
You know what? This is really clear in my mind. I haven't thought about it a long time, but it really is clear because I remember spending, it was a good few months, probably 6 months or so, looking for a new job. So I was in a teaching role and I realized that I just wasn't feeling very happy. Even though I like my job, it was the environment, and I knew I needed a change. Mm-hmm. And I was applying for jobs from that space of fear that you have to have a job, you have to have money coming in, and you have to, you know, work. You know, it doesn't matter what job it is, you have to have it. That's been something that I've always held on to. So I knew something was going on when I was getting kind of rejection letters from places that I didn't even want to work in. Okay, I was going in, like I was applying for these jobs desperate and then getting knocked back, knowing that I didn't want those jobs. And I was like, what am I doing? And so randomly, I knew one person that had just come back from this place called Dubai. I knew nothing about it, but he had come back and he was like, Heidi, you would love it there. And I was like, I don't know. I've never thought about living away. I have always wanted to travel, never did it, but wanted to see a bit more of the world. So I was like, as if I'm ever going to get a job there. I did some research. They have a teaching website where you can find lots of jobs out. And so I just applied for like 5 different jobs abroad. Wow. And Dubai was one of them. And that was the one that got back to me first. And I just remember the email, it must have been an email or a phone call. I think it might have been a phone call actually. And they were like, we have this interview. And I could not believe it. I was in like complete shock because to me, it felt like such a far away opportunity or dream. And so I kind of was like, right, I'm just going to go all in and see what happens. Not thinking I'd actually get it. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And something I've learned about myself, my sister has even told me, she's like, you love a risk. And I never knew I was a risk taker until she kind of pointed it out and she went, you love a risk. Of course you were just going to do it. I was like, it's so funny that you say that. Because I've never seen myself as that type of person. Mm-hmm. And I applied for the went for the interview and I got it. And I was just like, right, okay, so I'm going to take this job. I'm going to do it for 2 years. It was very practical. I was like, I'll be able to go away for this many months, come back during the holidays, carry on my life in England, mm-hmm. but work abroad and then come back. And then as soon as you step off that plane in Dubai, everything just goes up in the air. And you are like, okay, who am I? What am I doing with my life? And where do I want it to go? And everything changed.
Wow. And there's so many little manifestation points in there as you were describing that, because you were saying like you were applying for these jobs, number one, in need. And yes. That feeling of I have to have a job. I have to have money. What if I don't? So straight away, the energy is all wrong for the manifestation. But then the universe was like helping you out by saying, right, we're just going to give you rejections because you don't really want this. You want something else. And then, you took this big leap into kind of the world of Dubai. So then how did the shift happen from teaching to running your own business? Because everyone says like, oh my gosh, they say to me, wow, Victoria, you took such a risk. You took that, you went from that calm, comfortable stability into owning your own business. Wow, you must be such a risk taker. I don't think I am actually, but I'd love to know like how you took that leap.
Yeah. So for me, it all started again when I had this feeling that come back, that it was a trending feeling. I don't know, a feeling that always come up from when I was around 15. And the question that always come up for me was, is this all there is? I remember being like 15 years old and thinking, is this all there is? And I was like, this can't be it. And that's probably when I started thinking around, I'm going to move out of my town. I'm going to live somewhere else. And then it was like, is this all there is? And that came up sporadically through my sort of younger years. Mm-hmm. And it came back when I was in Dubai. And it really took me by surprise because I had made this huge leap. I was living a really fun life and, you know, the money is pretty good. I mean, as a teacher, it's not amazing, but it's, you know, you don't have to pay the tax like the UK. So for me, it was a bonus. And I was like, why is this feeling back again? This just doesn't make any sense. But this time I kind of listened a bit more and I was like, I need to figure out what is going on, because every time that feeling come up or that question come up, I would feel more depressed. I'd actually go on a bit of a depressive cycle. And I didn't want that. I just knew, I was like, this can't keep happening. There must be something to it. Mm-hmm. Now, at this point, I'd never had therapy or coaching or anything, but at that point, I was like, right, I need someone to help me, but because I don't know how to figure this out. And I actually reached out to a coach here in Dubai, a health coach, mm-hmm. because another thing, you always look at your outside, don't you, first, and then work on the internal stuff. So she was explaining things around stress and how it can affect our body. And I was feeling super drained with energy and I felt quite lethargic. I was getting bloated and I was like, I'm going to take this approach, because she also talks about delving a bit deeper and thinking about goals and setting your, you know, looking towards the future. So I was like, that sounds really interesting, rather than life coaching or therapy for me. This, I was just drawn to it. Never knew what health coaching was, never seen one before in my life, but it just showed up on Google when I searched kind of whatever my weird sentence was. I wish I knew what it was now, but like, what did I type in just brought this coach up, and I was like, I'm going to go for it. And at the time, it was like a huge investment to like invest in myself for a program I didn't really know much about.
Risk
but taker. Literally in those first couple of sessions, I'd started listening to myself more. She obviously had this like way of being like, right, you've got to start listening to your intuition, and you've got to take some time out to think about what it is that you want. Because I suppose you always know what you don't want, but do you really know what you want? And so I didn't. And I was just like, what? I don't know. I never even thought of that before. So I was just like, okay, this is interesting. And within, I'd say 18 months it was. So I did the coaching. Through her, I actually took a coaching course myself, because I was like, coaching is life transforming. I was just like, what is this thing? I need to be part of it. And I think it blended really well from teaching as well, because it's a people job. I'm a people person. So to me, it just made a lot of sense. It wasn't something that seemed too out of my sort of comfort zone to like explore. And I took on this coaching course, carried on my own coaching, decided to set some goals. And I was like, more physical goals. I started running and looking after my health a lot more. And then I was just like, right, well, part of well-being, part of health is actually taking some risks with your future. What is it that makes you happy? And one of the things that I really sort of remember was standing in the workshop. I was a DT teacher, standing in the workshop, covered in like MDF sawdust, thinking, I don't want to be in this room when I'm 55, 45. You know, I was just like, I don't want to spend my years in this type. It obviously, each, not necessarily that particular workshop, but all workshops are the same. And I was like, I don't want to have my mornings dictated by my job, because you're in school at 7. And I realized that the mornings meant so much to me when it comes to my happiness and joy, that I needed to change something up so I could have more time to feel happier. Because I thought I was a night owl, because that's how my life worked. It was, you work in the morning and you have your night to go out, but it wasn't doing me any good. I realized that wasn't working. And so I just put some steps in place and took that bold risk again of just being like, if I don't do it now, I probably will never do it. And I remember handing in my notice. So it was a period of like 18 months of setting myself up to do it. We have to give a 9-month notice period when you're a teacher over here. So, you know, there was quite a wait knowing that you're leaving the job, but you have to wait 9 months. But handing in that notice letter, I left and I just felt this like sense of freedom. And so I knew it was the right choice. I had no idea exactly what was going to happen. I was quite open to still working part-time as a teacher and things like that, but on my terms. And so that's kind of how I went from the teacher to coach. I did some training in it, but I had a coach and I realized a lot of my skills transferred. And took that another risk. I still didn't realize I was a risk taker then.
I was about to say, at what point did you realize? But maybe it was literally recently. But I loved what you were saying there about listening to your intuition, because you were talking about it in terms of when you were 15, your intuition was trying to speak to you to be like, is this all there is? But then also listening to your intuition in terms of your health, your body, your well-being. And then I really loved what you said at that last bit about you thought you were a night owl, but actually you realize that mornings are really important to you. Now, anyone who listens to my podcast knows that I am not a morning person, but I completely agree with that being able to do things in your own time. So I would love you to maybe speak a little bit about morning routines or listening to your intuition in terms of your health, either of those, because I think that would really, really help people.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing I did to kind of listen to my intuition more was to just take time to reflect. So again, I wasn't a journaler. I wasn't someone who wrote diaries when I was younger. That's not something that I did. But my coach was like, come on, give it a go. like I am now with my clients. I'm like, just give it a go. And what I found that helped the most for me was taking the step to write freely, just flow. Let's see what comes up. And I used the early morning pages example. Ooh. So it was early morning pages. It's by a famous person. I've completely forgotten name.
But we'll Google it. It's fine.
Yeah. It's where, so basically it's based on a principle of the first 20 minutes you're awake is when you get these like free flowing thoughts that you can just write down on the page. And if you do it over and over again, there'll be particular themes that come up for you. And that really did happen. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff coming up here that I've never really taken the time to think about. And with that, I could then do some sort of reflection, just kind of sitting down thinking, right, what have I done this week that's helped me kind of live more aligned with what I feel is what I need to have a successful life? Because I think a big part of it is you have to recognize what your version of success is. And prior to all of this, I was living under the impression that success was you have a job, you know, you earn a certain money and you work your way up the ladder. But I had this huge pull saying, you don't want to be those people at the top of the ladder. So does that mean you're failing? Like you're lost, a lost cause. And so by being able to reflect and let these thoughts come out, I was able to kind of recognize what my version of success was looking like. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot around health, a lot around having this sense of freedom. And that's where this morning element came in, just having that fresh air, the just being outdoors more. That's where running come into it as well, because I knew running would take me to so many different places. It's taken me all around the world. So it's never that I had the head of I'm going to be a runner. It was I want to see the world more, but on my feet. Mm. I want the sense of freedom. And so running has helped with that. And so my rituals kind of started when I was still working at school, but I could see how much more they could be built on once I had even just an extra hour of my day to my time, like to myself. And so I just started off with the reflection in the morning and dedicating time to have a healthy breakfast, mm-hmm. driving to work, feeling calm rather than stressed, you know, I used to be just like wake up and rush out the door and not have that space. And so I just took that time to have a bit of space to myself in the morning to then be able to start the day feeling more positive. Mm. I worked a lot on my mindset around like being more positive. And so as I have worked as a coach and worked for myself, I have really experimented with lots of different morning routines. And it kind of, it does change to depending on circumstance. I don't have a set ritual apart from I always have a healthy breakfast. Yeah. And I always get up before 6. That's like my two things that I stick with.
That's amazing.
I feel really good if I do those two things.
I'm going to say the Dubai sunshine helps you to get up before 6. The thing is, I know there are loads of people listening to this that are like, yeah, I'm up at 4:30. I'm up at 5. I think I totally understand the importance of it. And I'm going to look up those early morning pages because I hadn't heard of that. But what I think is really interesting from a sort of mindset psychology point of view, when you wake up, your brain waves are in an alpha state. And that alpha state is what we often talk about as being like the doorway to your subconscious. So it makes total sense to me that those early questions are really going to be tapping into your intuition, that deeper level of thought. And if you don't do it straight away, and okay, this could be at 8 o'clock rather than 5 o'clock for some people, but you know, if you don't do it straight away, your mind or your brain gets into beta state and you just start going about your day to day life, and you're not able to as easily tap into it. So I really liked that. Okay, so I can see that you've constantly taken these risks and you're really following what matters to you, what makes you feel good, constantly looking at, you know, different ways of finding that freedom. I really liked what you were saying about, you know, running, but not to be a runner, to get a sense of freedom. And I think that is an important message for everyone, that sometimes we just need to think, well, how do I want to feel? Not what job do I want to be? How much money do I want to earn? Where do I want to live? How do I want to feel? And then there's going to be so many different ways to explore that and kind of find out what that looks like for them. But I'd love to ask you next. You mentioned at the start that you work with sort of lifestyle. So do you want to just sort of tell me a little bit about how you help people with that? Because I was like, oh, lifestyle. Tell me more, Heidi.
Yeah. So lifestyle is for me. Well, basically for me, the lifestyle element is around your well-being. So when we think about our health, our thoughts always go to the nutrition, the physical exercise, things like that, more about how we look. Mm-hmm. And then if I go into mindset coaching or life coaching, it was then, okay, it's always up, it's what's going on in our heads. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need a different term, because what I'm doing is helping people with their whole well-being. But when we use the word well-being, people then can get another kind of definition of what that actually, everyone's got their own kind of definition, and it can really be a turn off for people, that well-being, because it's been used so much, and wellness.
Yeah.
So I use lifestyle because I want people to recognize that they can create a lifestyle very much like what you said, based on how you want to feel. Mm. So one of the first steps I actually get my clients to do is create a vision board, but based on how they want to feel. It's like literally, I think, one of the most powerful things that they can do. Mm-hmm. Because again, a lot of the time we think we know what we don't, we know what we don't want. We think we know what we want. And we always go to these like physical things, or the job, the money, et cetera, which is, there's nothing wrong with those things. Mm. But if we tap into how we want to feel, that element of possibility broadens, you know, that kind of asking that question around how you want to feel can lead to more curiosity in like what could actually happen in your future. What are you actually capable of doing? And so that's kind of where I take the lifestyle element of it. So it's the different elements of our well-being. So that can be it can be related to health, physical movement, career goals that we have. It can be finances. It can be looking at your environment, your social situation, relationships. Mm. Mostly I focus on the health, career goals, and big goals that people have for their life and their mindset. They're kind of like my focus points. Mm-hmm. But lifestyle is it all encompassing those things. And so that's kind of where I take the coaching when it comes to lifestyle.
Yeah, you're so right with certain words being loaded, like the word well-being or wellness. Yeah. People might be in a 9-to-5 right now where they have to go to a well-being seminar. And I have to say, they can be amazing or they can be pretty dire. And this is a really important topic. I think our mental health, our mental well-being, our physical well-being are so important. So yeah, I like how you've got the word lifestyle and said, actually, look, these are all the elements that come into it. Vision boards as well. Oh, I love a good vision board. Love it. So I think it's one of those activities that can be so good for manifestation. It can be a really fun activity. And if we're thinking about vibrations, that's really important. You can involve the family. You can do a vision board as a 5-year-old or a 95-year-old. Like, I think it's just something that I would encourage everyone to do. Now, if people are listening to this and they're thinking, actually, what Victoria and Heidi are talking about in terms of shifts, changes, feelings, maybe they've done a vision board. What would you say, if imagine that you were coaching someone and they've done their vision board, what would be like the next bit of advice you would give them, or where would you take them on their journey next?
So what I would ask them to do or encourage them to do is to think about how they can embody that feeling with what they have today. So it's not always about going out and achieving things. I think it's great to have achievement goals and things that you can tick off your list. Mm-hmm. But I think an important part is recognizing that a lot of what you feel is what you can control. Mm-hmm. And so you can take what you have now and think about how you can incorporate it more. So for example, I like to use one around sunrises, because that was, for me, was always on my vision board. I want to see the sunrises and sunsetting more. And I realized, well, I don't have to go on these huge holidays to exotic parts of the world.
Yeah.
People might think Dubai is an exotic part of the world. To me, it's normal now because I live here. Yeah. But it was like, actually, if I get up early and go to different parts of where I live, I can experience that on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And I started to do that. And I started to have that sense of freedom and joy, because I'm like, I'm doing this now, I can see this now. And just taking that time to prioritize how you want to feel, prioritize what's on your vision board, is kind of the first step I encourage people to do. It's like, how can you embody it now? And then what can you start to do? What actions can you take that will lead you closer and closer into creating more of that lifestyle as an everyday?
Yeah,
that's where I kind of take it.
I think that's not something that's talked about a lot. What I just wrote down, what you said, how can I embody the feeling now? Like, I don't think people really talk about that, because I think when we think of goals, we don't think about where we are now. We think about what we're lacking in. So I'm not making enough money. I'm not successful enough. I don't have that relationship. I don't have that house. I haven't hit that milestone. Yeah. And I think you've really flipped that and said, well, how can you take a piece of that and have an amazing relationship with yourself, or recognize your successes, or and the sunset thing is so true, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
I was thinking the same. Like, if I wanted to see a sunset, I would have to set about 6 alarms, but I could. There is somewhere really close to me that's really high that I know I could go to. So so cool.
I think that's what running helped me with as well, was bringing more joy into my day to day. And not striving or thinking that I needed big things to happen all the time. I think that's what so many people do get caught up in.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't, you can have so much more, I suppose, tranquility, like this joy that everyone craves when they're on holiday. It's like you can have that in your day-to-day life, but it might just be pockets of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, where can I fit little pockets of this more consistently into my lifestyle? Mm-hmm. And then you really start to have a shift in how you approach your life. That's kind of what happened to me as well. Like, the running definitely helped me with that, because just kind of exploring different parts of the city that I didn't even know existed, going out to the mountains and on the desert, it, you know, and it's taken me to Switzerland, to France, like all over, running on all these different mountain tops. And that has really made me realize that if you just keep yourself physically well, mentally strong, and kind of, I don't want to be future focused too much. Like, I do really believe in being present, but I think having that success, you know, the success for me is I will be as healthy as I can for as long as possible. And that kind of brings a sense of freedom.
Yeah. And actually, I was just thinking what you were saying about holidays there. Like, I was talking to my mum the other day about skin, as in, like, when you go, we obviously haven't been away because of all the things that have been happening. And she was saying, Victoria, my skin feels really dry, and I couldn't work out why. And then she realized they're retired, so they would luckily be able to go on maybe 3 holidays. And she said for 2 weeks she would be constantly moisturizing her skin, whether that was a high SPF sunscreen, whether that was after sun. And she said, I just haven't done that. And then it made me think about, what are all the things we do on holiday? We probably drink loads of water. We feel more relaxed. We might be reading. We might be swimming. We might be exploring different places. But we just have a mindset that is so different. I eat differently on holiday. I actually eat better, I think, when I go on holiday. And some people are
so
like,
so many people do. No, I've heard so many people do.
Because you sort of think, wow, I'm going to get up and I'm going to have a lovely breakfast and I'm going to try all this gorgeous watermelon or fruits or vegetables. And I think maybe what I've taken from what you've just said is, where can we look at the version of us that's on holiday, whether that's the chilled version, the healthier version, this whatever, and where can we take pockets of that, if I just use your phrase, and put that into day-to-day life? Because what's that phrase, you don't want to have a break from what's the phrase about not wanting to take a holiday from your life, your job, because you enjoy it so much? You know the one I mean.
Yeah, I know the one you mean.
Like, it's not fun. And I think we've probably both been in that, to be on that treadmill of life going, oh, when's the next holiday? When's the next holiday? Because actually you want to be waking up in the morning going, wow, I've got a day. What am I going to do? What's it going to look like? How am I going to feel?
Absolutely. And I think being a teacher, you do fall into that trap a lot. And I know you do have holidays as a teacher that are more than maybe a 9-to-5 job.
Sure.
But in between, during the term times, the time to yourself feels so limited. So you're desperate for that holiday. You get in the mindset of, I'm living for that next holiday.
Yeah.
And That's 12 weeks of putting your own needs last.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a feeling. I don't think it needs to be a fact.
Yeah.
Because I was able to change it and I do help teachers. But a lot of people do get in that mindset, don't they, of I have to wait until I go on holiday and then I can prioritize all these things.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, that version that you say, what's your version of the perfect holiday, is such a good way to look at it, because mine is adventure. Mm-hmm. So mine is running in the mountains, you know, getting up early, hiking all day, yeah. You know, eating croissants and like eating what I want basically, and drinking lots of wine.
Yeah.
And I try and do that as much as possible in my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's definitely around your version though. Like, my version doesn't mean it's someone else's success. And I always say that to my clients. I'm like, what you look at on Instagram is my version of success.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean it's going to make you happy. It's mm-hmm. figuring out what your version of success is. This is just what helps me feel like free and happy and joyful.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's given me goosebumps, because our versions are similar in many ways, but then different in other ways. But the commonality is that freedom, that excitement every day, that feeling healthy, that wanting to be feeling good in our skin, mentally, physically, everything. And then we're both just finding slightly different ways to do that. And yeah, my holiday of choice probably wouldn't be hiking in the mountains, but it would be the sort of thing where I was getting fresh air, I was sleeping better, I was reading more, I was taking time away from my phone, talking to my friends and family, like eating slowly, like actually sitting down and enjoying a meal rather than going, oh, quick, I've got to eat this because I've got to go to something else. And right. So if you could give your top tips to anyone listening to this who's thinking, maybe I need to look at my lifestyle, maybe I need to look at my health and my well-being, what would those top tips be?
I think number one is to take the time. You know what? And sometimes I say to people, just carve 10 minutes out, because when we think about starting something, we often overcomplicate it. So I think the very first step would be 10 minutes sitting down and writing what your version of success is regarding your life or lifestyle. Yeah. So you could break it into categories if you wanted to, but just kind of figuring out what your version of success is, linking it with how you want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
Just write it down. What comes up, there's no right or wrong, but it's just to get you to think about it. Then I would like looking at again, what you don't want, you probably already know. So mm-hmm. ask yourself the more challenging question. Well, what is it that you do want to see happen in your life? What are some of the changes that you do want to happen? No matter how hard or scary they might seem, it's like just knowing what they are can help you then break it down into like realistic sort of steps and goals. And I would then share them with someone who actually cares about you, you know, like share this, what's come up for you, with someone who you can trust, someone supportive, because there's going to be lots of people out there that will say, oh, you won't be able to do that. That's so unrealistic. Who do you think you are to go and do that? You know, why are you special? You need to keep your job, etc.
Yes.
So it's kind of like finding that person who, you know, whatever you say, says, yeah, go for it, you deserve it. Because it makes a huge difference. And then set yourself some goals, set some goals that are achievable within like the next 3 months. And they don't have to be huge, big, audacious goals. I mean, they are great when you're in the groove and you feel like you're ready to take them on. But sometimes we need to have smaller goals to just help prove to ourselves that we can actually make some change in our life. Like one of my first one was getting up early. That was a goal. I had to set that as a goal because I was not getting up early.
Yeah.
And then another goal was running 5K. You know, that was one of my first running goals. Mm-hmm. It's like break the goals down. And so you can then build on top of them as you build your confidence and kind of self-belief that you can go out and get what you want.
Yes. Yeah. We all need that person who's like, yes, oh my gosh, do it. Amazing. Go for it. Rather than the negative Nelly that goes, oh, that sounds hard. No, don't share it with that person.
That sounds hard. Oh no, don't go there.
No. Are you sure? No, that's not what you want to hear when you're really pumped about.
That's too expensive as well. That one always comes up, doesn't it?
How much? What? Yeah. You're like, no, don't. Mm-hmm. I'm in this. I'm going for it. Mm-hmm. Let me be. Oh, Thank you.
I actually heard something recently. Sorry, I heard something recently. If you do write something down, so say, I want to go and climb Kilimanjaro. Say that was the goal. I've got my adventure head on. I want to go and climb Kilimanjaro. If you hear the phrase, but I can't afford it, or but it's really expensive, it's to change it to and. So, you know, I want to climb Kilimanjaro and it's really expensive, because then it just kind of lifts it up a bit and thinks, right, it's really expensive. How can I find a way to make sure I can get the funds to go and do it, rather than the but, which turns it into like this negative, and it throws you off and you think, oh no, I can't do it. It's too much. It's too hard. I'll never be able to do that. So that was just a
I love that. And actually, if I'm just going to tag on to that and say, there's something I talk about called butt reversal, and this is not a cosmetic surgery procedure. So if what was yours, I want to climb Kilimanjaro, but it's really expensive.
Yes.
So you swap it round. It's really expensive, but I want to climb Kilimanjaro.
I love it.
So because the argument is, your mind sees that whatever comes after the but as the most important bit. It's like, I want to do this, but. So it like erases the first bit. So if you flip them round, you erase that it's expensive and you just focus on, I want to climb Kilimanjaro.
Absolutely love that.
So we've got ands and but reversal in there. So people can use that today as they're listening to this. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Right. Thank you so much, Heidi. I would love to know, I know you've got something big coming up in near the end of September, but how can people find out about you? Where can they learn more? And if they want to work with you, find out.
Oh, thanks. So I have an Instagram account at Heidi_Jones_coaching. That is where I share my story. Kind of, I share on stories a little bit about my life, and the feed, I try and put as much helpful information on there as possible. It is all about creating, you know, a positive mindset towards your goals. So I try and give as much help as I can on that for the community. I do focus a lot on building community. So it's all about reaching out, you know, sending me a DM, saying, hey, I ran a goal setting call yesterday just to help people have the accountability to fill out the goal setting worksheets. Mm-hmm. So if you ever see something come up on Instagram, just join in. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. I always have an international like base, which is amazing. I feel so lucky to have that. But we have such a great community. And I think anyone who listens to your podcast is going to find someone within that community that is going to be their supporter, you know, someone that's going to say, yes, go and do it. Especially in the goal setting class, no one is allowed to say no. So yeah, come and join in any of the live calls that I do. And I have a website, just HeidiJonesCoaching.com. That's got a lot about my programs. And I have a blog on there with tips and advice as well.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, I will make sure all those links go in the show notes. So if you remember Heidi Jones Coaching, you should be able to find her Instagram and her website.
Absolutely.
But if you ever can't find anything, people listening to this, send me a DM and I will make sure to send it, because I really think you'll love Heidi's Instagram. Exactly as you said, it's got such a positive atmosphere, mindset, like, and that I know lots of people who listen to this are craving more people with that positivity. So thank you so much, Heidi, for coming on today's episode. I have loved it.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I've loved it.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you like this content, I would so love it if you could leave me an iTunes review. You would totally make my day, and you'd help this podcast to reach other listeners just like you. And if you know someone who this content would help, then please share it with them. Share the love, share the positivity. I hope you all have a wonderful and prosperous day, and I will see you all in the next episode.